This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. This is Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. And for episode 197, I'm recording this on the morning of Memorial Day 2023 here in the United States. And I can think of no better way to honor what this day is all about than reading some of the citations that Americans in our armed services have been awarded posthumously for giving their lives in the service of their country. And I'm going to read just a few brief stories about the sacrifices that these men and women have made. I'll start with Brigadier General Frederick Castle from the U.S. Army Air Corps in World War II. General Castle was an air commander and leader of more than 2,000 heavy bombers in a strike against German airfields on 24 December 1944. En route to the target, the failure of one engine forced him to relinquish his place at the head of the formation. In order to not endanger friendly troops on the ground below, he refused to jettison his bombs to gain speed and maneuverability. His lagging, unescorted aircraft became the target of numerous enemy fighters, which ripped the left wing with cannon shells, set the oxygen system afire, and wounded two members of General Castle's crew. Repeated attacks started fires in two other engines, leaving his B-17 Flying Fortress in imminent danger of exploding. Realizing the hopelessness of his situation, he gave the bailout order. Without regard for his personal safety, he gallantly remained alone at the controls to afford all other crew members an opportunity to escape. Still another attack exploded the gasoline tanks in the right wing, and the bomber plunged earthward, carrying General Castle to his death. His intrepidity and willing sacrifice of his life to save the members of his crew were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service. First Lieutenant Alonzo Cushing, the Battle of Gettysburg in the Civil War. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, First Lieutenant Alonzo H. Cushing distinguished himself by acts of bravery above and beyond the call of duty while serving as the artillery commander in Battery A, 4th U.S. Artillery, the Army of the Potomac, at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania on 3 July 1863. That morning, Confederate forces led by General Robert E. Lee began cannonading First Lieutenant Cushing's position on Cemetery Ridge. Using field glasses, Lieutenant Cushing directed fire for his own artillery battery. He refused to leave the battlefield after being struck in the shoulder by a shell fragment. As he continued to direct fire, he was struck again, this time suffering grievous damage to his abdomen. Still refusing to abandon his command, he boldly stood tall in the face of Major General George E. Pickett's charge and continued to direct devastating fire onto oncoming forces. As the Confederate forces closed in, First Lieutenant Cushing was struck in the mouth by an enemy bullet and fell dead beside his gun. His gallant stand and fearless leadership inflicted severe casualties upon Confederate forces and opened wide gaps in their lines, directly impacting the Union forces' ability to repel Pickett's charge. First Lieutenant Cushing's extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty, at the cost of his own life, are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, Battery A, 4th U.S. Artillery, Army of Potomac, and the United States Army. Lieutenant Vincent R. Capodanno of the Chaplain Corps, United States Naval Reserve. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, as Chaplain of the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, 1st Marine Division, Fleet Marine Forces, in connection with operations against enemy forces in Quang Tin Province, Republic of Vietnam, on 4 September 1967. In response to reports that the 2nd Platoon of M Company was in danger of being overrun by a massed enemy assaulting force. Lieutenant Capodanno left the relative safety of his company command post and ran through an open area raked with fire directly to the beleaguered platoon. Disregarding the intense enemy small arms, automatic weapons, and mortar fire, he moved about the battlefield, administering last rites to the dying and giving medical aid to the wounded. When an exploding mortar round inflicted painful and multiple wounds to his arms and legs and severed a portion of his right hand, he steadfastly refused all medical aid. Instead, he directed the corpsmen to help their wounded comrades and, with calm vigor, continued to move about the battlefield as he provided encouragement by voice and example to the valiant Marines. Upon encountering a wounded corpsman in the direct line of fire of an enemy machine gunner positioned approximately 15 yards away, Lieutenant Capodanno rushed forward in a daring attempt to aid and assist the mortally wounded corpsman. At that instant, inches from his goal, he was struck down by a burst of machine gun fire. By his heroic conduct on the battlefield and his inspiring example, Lieutenant Capodanno upheld the finest traditions of the United States Naval Service. He gallantly gave his life in the cause of freedom. 12 years ago, I had the opportunity to hear Michael Durant, the pilot referenced in the next citation I will read, who came and spoke to a small group of about 40 or 50 of us about his crash in Somalia and the heroism of the two men referenced in the citation I will read. I have rarely in my life spent a more moving hour and a half listening to someone tell their own personal story. I'm going to read the Medal of Honor citation for Sergeant First Class Randy Shugart, but the same story applies to his team leader, Gary Gordon, who was also killed that day and was also awarded the Medal of Honor. Sergeant First Class Shugart, United States Army, distinguished himself by actions above and beyond the call of duty on 3 October 1993 while serving as a sniper team member, United States Army Special Operations Command, with Task Force Ranger in Mogadishu, Somalia. Sergeant First Class Shugart provided precision sniper fire from his lead helicopter during an assault on a building and at two helicopter crash sites while subjected to intense automatic weapons and rocket-propelled grenade fire. While providing critical suppressive fires at the second crash site, Sergeant Shugart and his team leader learned that the ground forces were not immediately able to secure the site. Along with his team leader, he unhesitatingly volunteered to be inserted to protect the four critically wounded personnel, despite being well aware of the growing number of enemy personnel that were closing in on the site. After their third request to be inserted, his team leader and he received permission to perform this volunteer mission. When debris and enemy ground fires at the site caused them to abort the first attempt, Sergeant First Class Shugart and his team member were inserted 100 meters south of the crash site. Equipped only with their sniper rifles and a pistol each, Sergeant First Class Shugart and his team leader, while under intense fire from the enemy, fought their way through a dense maze of shanties and shacks to reach the critically injured team members. Sergeant First Class Shugart pulled the pilot and other crew members from the aircraft, establishing a perimeter which placed him and his fellow sniper in the most vulnerable positions. He then used his long-range rifle and sidearm to kill an undetermined number of attackers while traveling the perimeter protecting the downed crew. He continued his protective fire until he depleted his ammunition and was fatally wounded. His actions saved the pilot's life. His extraordinary heroism and devotion for duty were in keeping with the highest traditions in military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. Captain Ben Solomon was a dentist in 1942 with the U.S. Army in Saipan during World War II. And this is perhaps one of the most heroic stands I've read, particularly by an officer who was not even a combatant. He was a dentist. Captain Ben L. Solomon was serving at Saipan in the Marineras Islands on 7 July 1944 as the surgeon for 2nd Battalion, 105th Infantry Regiment of the 27th Infantry Division. The regiment's 1st and 2nd Battalions were attacked by an overwhelming Japanese force, estimated between 3,000 and 5,000 soldiers. It was one of the largest attacks attempted in the Pacific Theater during World War II. Although both units fought furiously, the enemy soon penetrated the battalion's combined perimeter and inflicted overwhelming casualties. In the first minutes of the attack, approximately 30 wounded soldiers walked, crawled, or were carried into Captain Solomon's aid station, and his small tent soon filled with wounded men. As the perimeter began to be overrun, it became increasingly difficult for Captain Solomon to work on the wounded. He then saw a Japanese soldier bayoneting one of the wounded soldiers lying near the tent. Firing from a squatting position, Captain Solomon quickly killed the enemy soldier. Then, as he turned his attention back to the wounded, two more Japanese soldiers appeared at the front entrance of the tent. As these enemy soldiers were killed, four more crawled under the tent walls. Rushing them, Captain Solomon kicked the knife out of the hand of one, shot another, and bayoneted a third. Captain Solomon butted the fourth enemy soldier in the stomach, and a wounded comrade then shot and killed the enemy soldier. Now realizing the gravity of the situation, Captain Solomon ordered the wounded to make their way as best they could back to the regimental aid station, while he attempted to hold off the enemy until they were clear. Captain Solomon then grabbed a rifle from one of the wounded and rushed out of the tent. After the four men were killed while manning a machine gun, Captain Solomon took control of it. When his body was later found, 98 dead enemy soldiers were piled in front of his position. Captain Solomon's extraordinary heroism and devotion to duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. They went with great songs to the battle. They were young. Straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow, they were staunch to the end against odds uncounted, and they fell with their faces to the foe. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Lawrence Binion. We'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.